Our scripture for this morning is from the little book of Philippians. I'm sorry, the little book of Philemon. Sorry. It's on page 845, and I'm going to begin with verse 8 and read through 16. Philemon 8 through 16. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, as Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner of Christ, appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful to both you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do will be spontaneous and not forced. Perhaps the reason that he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He's very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. May the Lord add his blessing to this, the reading and the proclaiming of his word this morning. Over the next 2 weeks, this Sunday and next Sunday, we're going to look at this very short pastoral letter to Philemon. In November, for Thanksgiving, we looked at the first 7 verses. But as we think today, we want to reflect on Paul's primary concern, which is found between verses 8 and 25. It is the reconciliation of two brothers now in the faith. Philemon, a wealthy follower of Christ, landowner, business person, and Onesimus, a formerly pagan, former servant of Philemon, who is now on the lam, running for a reason. Paul's letter to Philemon is relevant for us today as we live in a fractured society. We are divided by racial distinctions. We are divided by political ideologies. We are divided by economic disparities. And what are we, as followers of Christ, expected to do? Whether we feel like we are Onesimus in this story, or whether we feel like we are Philemon in this story, both Onesimus and Philemon have reason to feel hurt. Both Onesimus and Philemon have room for grace. Both Onesimus and Philemon need to extend their vulnerability. This is not one person making it right and the other accepting, but two people determining that they want to follow Christ. They want to follow what Christ would have them to do. This week, we're going to look more on Onesimus' side of the equation than Philemon's. Next week, we'll look at more of Philemon's side of the equation. And we're going to look at how we might feel, each one of us who is here today, might feel that we are just like Onesimus. That we are, in one way or another, marginalized and oppressed and powerless in our day. As we look at this, we begin with Paul's appeal. And Paul makes an appeal in love. Apparently, Onesimus has found Paul in jail, in a Roman house arrest. And while Paul is under house arrest, whether Onesimus is there also under house arrest, or if he is there as a servant, or if he's there simply because he has heard of Paul, we know that Paul has discipled Onesimus. They are two very different people. Paul, imprisoned for treason, for sharing the gospel, for declaring Jesus as Lord of all and not Caesar. Onesimus is there because he is running away. Now, we're not 100% sure why he has left the land and the position that he had with Philemon. Some people say there was a theft involved. Some people say there was an injustice involved. Either way, Philemon is injured, harmed. Onesimus has departed, has not fulfilled his vow, has not been what he needed to be. And in fact, in verse 12, maybe verse 11, let me see if I can find it. No, verse 11. Paul says, formerly he was useless to you. Onesimus was useless culturally. He was a bondservant. He had no purpose other than hard labor. Onesimus was useless economically. He had no wealth, he had no land, he had no stake in the community. Onesimus was useless spiritually. He was unsaved. But all that changes as Paul and Onesimus relate with one another. Paul hopes that Philemon will act out of compassion, not out of compulsion. For he says in verse 8, I could be bold. I could order you to do what you ought to do. I could tell you, as the apostle to the Gentiles, as the one eyewitness to Christ, I could force you to do what is proper. Now, we aren't clear yet what is proper. But Paul starts off by saying, I don't want this to be a demand. Instead, I appeal to you in love as a weak man. It is me, not the apostle, but Paul, who is now an old man, who is now imprisoned. All the things that I used to have are no longer afforded me. The energy of my youth is gone. My ability to go where I choose is gone. My opportunity to earn a livelihood is gone. All I have is our mutual love for Christ and for one another. And he says, Philemon, you ought to do what you ought to do on the basis of love. Earlier in this letter, verse 5, Paul writes, because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. Do you love the people of God? And if you do, Philemon, I want you to act in faith toward Onesimus. Like Philemon, we are propelled by love to act properly. We are expected to embrace the transformation that comes from Christ. The right and proper thing to do, as Paul is going to say, is to be reconciled with one another. It's why in verse 11, part B, he used to be useless, but now he is useful to both you and to me. And that's why I am sending him back to you. Paul becomes an advocate for reconciliation. We see he makes an appeal in love, and now he becomes an advocate for reconciliation. Onesimus has become useful, which is ironic because Onesimus means useful. He's now a brother in Christ. He's now an heir in Christ. He's now a follower of Christ. What he did not have culturally, what he did not have economically, what he did not have spiritually, he now has with all of us in Christ. And Paul says he has not only received Jesus as Lord and Savior, he's become a son of mine. Spiritual son, Paul says. But he has become my heart. Literally, he has become my viscera, my guts, my internal organs. I can't live without him. This is more than just an emotional, oh, he is my heart. No, he is my insides, my intestines. Paul cares deeply for Onesimus, and Onesimus cares deeply. That's why he says, I wish he could stay, because he is doing what you ought to be doing. But it is better for him to go. Paul wants their reunion to be redemptive. As Paul sends Onesimus back, new and renewed, he wants a favorable reception. He wants their reconciliation to be voluntary. Goodness must never be forced. I am going to make you do what's right. You may get the action, but you don't get the character. Can we force people to do what's good? Yes. Will they be good if they are forced to do it? It seems unlikely. Grace without choice is no grace at all. This is what you have to do. And Paul says, I don't want you to say, oh, I had to take him back. He wants Philemon to say, I chose to take him back. I chose to receive him. I chose to welcome him willingly. And by doing so, can you imagine what the community around Philemon and Onesimus would think? The community would notice if Philemon and Onesimus were together by choice. They would notice otherwise as well, I'm sure. But that power dynamic would be transformed. Yes, I can force you. Yes, I am superior, whatever, in a higher structured position. But we choose to relate together as one. Onesimus had somehow harmed Philemon. But through Christ, he was returning to repent and restore what was broken. Can you imagine the humility that course of action requires? And that is only possible when you see the value in Christ of another over the value that the prevailing culture puts upon a person. Likely there was some extenuating circumstance that drove Onesimus away. Doesn't discount Onesimus's actions. But it must have been difficult to return unsure. But ultimately, Paul was able to affirm God's providence. And it's all contained in one simple word, perhaps. Verse 15. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good. Perhaps all of this was planned and overseen and ordered by God. Perhaps this brief separation could have eternal consequences. At times, our difficulties lead to new discoveries. Sometimes, our rock bottom helps us find the rock of ages. And so Onesimus was willing, carrying this letter with him, to return. Because perhaps this brief separation is accomplishing an eternal change. Onesimus is now a brother. He left as an inferior. And I have to say, all of us here this morning are underprivileged in some way. I was thinking about this. Very few of us, none of us, would have been able to vote for President of the United States when this country was first founded. Some of us, me, for example, David, for example, were given the vote maybe 30 years after our country was founded. And then some of us were given the vote 45, 50 years after that, sort of. And some of us were given the vote 45, 50 years after that, sort of. And some of us still cannot vote. Some of us face racial inequality. Some of us face gender inequality. Some of us face property or economic inequality. All of us, in one way or another, are like Onesimus. I got nothing in my hands. I got no right to demand it. And yet, the love of Christ compels me. But now Onesimus is a brother. God is enabling him to return as an equal. And literally what it says is he is a brother both in flesh and in the Lord. That he is a brother in flesh. That we all share the same nature. Each one of us here has the same nature, has the same flesh, has the same organs, has the same situation, the same needs. We are all the same in our physical bodies. We are all siblings in the Lord as well. We are all sons of God. We are all titled heirs, acceptable to God simply through the blood of Christ. Regardless of our race, our gender, our economic, our education, regardless of what culture measures, we are all siblings in the flesh. We are all siblings in the Lord. And it is possible, is it not, that God perhaps has allowed some difficulties to occur, some damage to develop, so that the greater work within us and through us might be completed. Our sermon in a sentence is this: in God's love, we must be repentant and be reconciled with all God's people. Wherever we see ourselves as Onesimus, we are encouraged by Scripture to act as Onesimus, to receive a spiritual rebirth, to return to those we harmed, to repent of our sin that contributed to the division, and to seek reconciliation. If that advance is embraced, praise God. If that advance is not, go on in peace, living as the new creation Christ has made you to be. This week, let us all emulate the strength and faith of Onesimus. And next week, we will look at Paul's relationship with Philemon. But at all times, in God's love, let us be repentant and let us be reconciled with all God's people. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for